going to start a new sermon series. It's probably going to go probably 3, maybe 4 Sundays. And I guess I'm entitling it, if you want a title for it, Listening to the Voice of God. Listening to the Voice of God. Now, you may ask, why that topic? Well, truthfully, it's what I've been doing, I guess you'd say, from a self-study standpoint. I'm trying to better hear the voice of God. Now, why? Because in my opinion, that's probably one of the most important things that you need to have the ability to do in this world today. Why would I say that? Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a neighbor, I'm involved in lots of different things. And you know what I've learned? When I do what God asks me to do, things work. He gets glorified, and it's just, everything fits. When I do what I want to do, or I do what other voices inside me are saying, it doesn't work. It fails, or even worse, it takes people's eyes off of God and puts them either on me or someone else. And that, to me, is an ultimate failure. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to know what he's saying. We need to have his direction. We need to have his wisdom. There are so many different decisions that we're going to need to make in life that you do not want to make them without having the power of the Holy Spirit inside you. Matter of fact, when I was ordained a number of years ago, one of the things that I received was a Bible. And in that Bible, I got it from our sectional presbyter. He had written me kind of a nice note, but he had highlighted one specific scripture that I guess I've used it as a promise in my own life. I go back to it quite often, especially as I run into what I consider to be difficult situations, whether it be in my family life or whether it be at the church. And we're going to read that together. It's in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Now, for those of you who didn't bring your Bibles, that's okay. We're going to put the scriptures up behind us so you'll be able to read along with us. But in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and would tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Now, I've learned without that promise guiding me, especially in the specific roles that God's placed me in, I would live a life of huge stress, huge, and honestly, potential disaster. You do not want to be in a place where you're guessing what's what God wants you to do. You do not want to guess. The consequences, honestly, of missing God of your life are huge. You just don't want to do it. Now, does that mean that God won't protect us and save us from those decisions if we miss out on him? No, I don't believe that. I actually believe that God will protect us. But that doesn't mean that it will be easy. And it also does not mean that those decisions we made were God decisions. I do know that just because God saves you from a certain situation, it doesn't mean that God wanted you to make those decisions. That's key. Just because God, I mean, look, I look at it this way as a father. There are times when I will bail my kids out of poor decisions. Parents, have you ever done that before? Where you've bailed your kids out of poor decisions? And why do you do that? Right, you love them and you don't like seeing them hurt. You don't like seeing them discouraged. And I've learned that sometimes I've actually been able to help them even avoid some of the consequences of those decisions. Have you ever been able to do that with your kids sometimes? You know, but other times, walk through some things, honestly, that were ugly, they were painful, and all they really had to do was to avoid that, was probably just to ask me a couple questions or to follow some of the advice and wisdom that I had given them before they made those decisions. Now, I learned that it's the same relationships with God. It really is. I mean, God's desire for us is to have a personal relationship with him. Matter of fact, he wanted it so badly that what did he do? He sent his son, right? He paid the ultimate price to make sure that we had the choice. It was our choice whether we wanted to have a relationship with God. He eliminated the sin problem that kept us separate from him. Now, God also, I've learned, wants us to be happy. It's true. Did you know that? God actually wants you to be happy? Yeah, he's your dad. And I've also learned that God wants you to be successful in accomplishing his purpose on this earth. Yes, God does. God also knows that in this world, the only way for you to be able to do that is if you can hear what he's telling you to do. If you can't hear what God is telling you to do, it's really hard to do what God wants you to do. Would we agree? So we know the only way for us to accomplish what God wants is to be able to have the ability to hear the voice of God. And it's not just to hear his voice, but then choose to follow his voice. Right? Amen. Okay. Well, let me give you a little background of the scripture that really we're going to be camped in this morning. We're going to be in the book of Genesis, really early on. Really, chapter 3 is going to be our main text. And we're going to be learning about really the earliest relationship in the Bible. It's going to be about Adam and Eve. And what we're going to learn is that God created everything in 6 days. And then when he was done, he rested. And then he looked at Adam and said, these were God's words exactly. I'll quote them to you. It says, "It's not good that man should be alone." So God made Eve, right? And they worked in the garden together. And they had a relationship with each other. They had a relationship with God. And it was kind of considered the perfect existence. It was exactly how God wanted his relationship to be with man and for our relationships to be with each other. And now in the garden, God had only one rule. One rule. Matter of fact, we're going to read that really quick. It's in Genesis chapter 2. So if you're in 3, you'll hop back one chapter. I'm only going to be in there for a couple of verses. So Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord commanded man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, you'll learn as we go through this passage of scripture that there was no confusion on Adam and Eve's part about what this rule is. They knew exactly the rule. There was a lack of understanding. You're also going to learn that someone else knew this rule and knew it really well. Now, what we will learn today is there's a big difference between hearing and listening and obeying. Would you agree? Big difference between hearing and listening and obeying. See, because everyone heard this rule that God said, but were they all listening? Let's see. Now, as we dive into Genesis 3, what I want to do this morning, this is what your take home will be for this morning. I want to give you some principles that happen when we fail to listen to the voice of God. So these are principles that when you fail to listen to the voice of God, this is what happens, okay? All right, number one. When we fail to listen to the voice of God, we listen to the wrong voices. When we fail to listen to God's voice, we listen to the wrong voices. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Just out of curiosity, why is Eve listening to the serpent? I mean, if you know what you're hearing, either inside your head or out of the mouth of other people, isn't from God and doesn't line up with what the Bible says, get out of there. I know that sounds kind of simplistic, but I mean, don't just be silent, but excuse yourself from that conversation. Or immediately, if it's something that's in your mind, immediately start praying and asking God to remove that and start thinking about something else. Sometimes I've learned that we can almost be our own worst enemy in regards to listening to the wrong voices. I mean, do you have any idea how many people know the truth? They've heard the truth from God, and they still go from voice to voice until they hear what they want to hear? Why? Well, you know why? It's because they've already made up their mind on what they want to do, and so they want to find that one person that will validate it and say, yes, that's exactly what you should do. See, in my mind, you know what gets us in trouble the most? It's the buts of life. What do I mean by the buts of life? Well, I get it this way. It's when you know the right thing to do, but, you know, it's, all right, I know that not be watching this program, but I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, but, you know, I know other Christians who watch it, but I mean, there's nothing else on TV and I'm bored, you know, or it's, we know what God has said about doing something, but, all right, I know God said that, you know, I should wait until I'm married before we have sex, but what will one time hurt? But it's just so hard to wait. It's the buts in life that always get us in trouble. I can promise you that you will always be able to find a voice that's different than God's voice. Always. Usually that voice is not what God wants, I'm learning. It's actually what the flesh wants, isn't it? All right, let's keep going. When we fail, this is number two, when we fail to listen to God, we are easily deceived. We are easily deceived. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, see, why are you even responding? Just number one. Why are you, really? Why are you responding? Isn't that the time when you walk away, right? He says something, you just walk. All right. And then the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. You know what Satan's basically saying here? Look, I know what God said. I know what he said. But let's be honest here. He's not going to kill you. You will not surely die if you eat this fruit. You know what the truth of the matter is? Satan had no clue. He's not God. He had no idea what God was going to do from a consequence perspective if they did not obey. He had no idea. But you know what he did? He used it as an opportunity. He used it as an opportunity to deceive her, to deceive Eve. Matter of fact, it's when we listen to voices that are other than God, as I said, we become easily deceived. Satan is known as the father of what? All lies. There's a reason why. He used his cunning words. Remember they said the serpent more cunning than any other animal. He used his words to deceive Eve. And if you didn't notice this, Satan's pretty smart. Because what does he use? He uses almost the exact words of God, doesn't he? He almost quotes God exactly. I mean, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard something that sounded like the Bible? I mean, almost exactly like the Bible. It wasn't like, you know, but it sounded really good. Well, here, let me throw one out to you. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Hate the sin, but love the sinner. How many of you have ever heard that before? What verse, what Bible is that? It's not in the Bible, is it? You may not have known that. That's actually not in the Bible. Now, is there truth in that statement? There's some truth in that statement. But it also can be used to guilt people, to condemn people. And one thing I've learned is that when we listen to voices other than God's voice, our perspective becomes unbalanced. It actually opens you up to things that sound good. They sound true. They sound like God's voice, but it may not be completely true. Now, look, whenever you get into a conversation with the devil, when you start arguing or just kind of talking with him, I can promise you you're headed for failure. I can promise you, he's going to appeal to your flesh. Matter of fact, the more you listen, the less clear the voice of God will be in your life. Satan, look, he has a big mouth. He really does. His loud voice clearly tries to overpower what in the Bible is described as the kind of the still, quiet voice of God. I mean, it kind of starts small, but eventually you'll find yourself thinking about and believing things that just don't make sense. I mean, eventually, you know, we'll begin to rationalize the sin. And eventually we'll begin to start tolerating actions and things that we know are wrong. You know, we're dead wrong. I mean, I kind of equate it to probably the minds of some of the teens. I got a lot of teens in my house now. But it's, you know, I bet you these kind of conversations probably are in their mind to their relationship with God and their relationship with just the church in general. I mean, they probably hear things like, what? You want to be with your parents? You know, what do you need God and church for? They'll hear things like, look, they went to church because they had nothing else to do. You know, they grew up in a different generation than you. They'll hear things like, look, they didn't have all the fun things that you have now. I mean, going to church for them was entertainment. You know, this is a whole different age. Those are the things that, you know, and eventually they're going to hear things like, and to be honest, do you really want to be like your parents? I mean, that's probably the thing that gets the tease. No, they don't want to be like us. They should. See, when we fail to listen to God, the other voices, they sound so inviting. They really do. We are quickly deceived into believing things that we never should have been listening to in the first place. We can't listen to the wrong voices. All right, number three. When we fail to listen to God, we express pride and independence from God. We express pride and independence from God. So back in Genesis, verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, the interesting thing you'll find here is Satan told Eve some truth. He did. He just didn't tell her all of the truth. Now, what Satan didn't tell her is this. Now, Eve, you are going to be like God, you know, knowing good and evil. But what I'm here to tell you, Eve, is that you're going to hate the day once you actually have ever learned the truth about what evil is. So he didn't tell her that part. So yes, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. But honestly, you're going to regret the day that you ever learned what evil really is. See, because every time that we choose to act independently from God by not listening to him, it's an expression of our pride, right? It's us telling God, I can handle it. I got this one, God. It's good. I got it. I mean, basically, I'm telling God, he's the guy who knows past, present, and future. I'm telling him that I got better plans than you. I got better understanding than you, or the advice that I'm taking from that other person, they're smarter than you, God. So I'm going to use their advice this time. It would be like Jonathan with his cast. It would be like him going to the doctor and, you know, the doctor doing an x-ray, giving him a diagnosis, and then him kind of telling him, all right, Jonathan, this is the plan that you need to do. It'd be like him saying, you know, I saw the x-ray too. I'm not feeling it. I think you're wrong. And a cast, it's total overkill. Instead, I'm just going to go get a couple sticks, maybe a little duct tape. I'll wrap it up. The cast is way overkill. Like Satan, he kind of slyly kind of conned Eve, you know, into making a really prideful decision. You know, you're going to be like God. It's just like that today with, you know, I see it in the younger generation. To be honest, I see it in us as well, in the older generations. You know, we get led into sin because what we think or what our friends actually say to us. I mean, they'll say things like, you'll never know unless you try it. How many people have been roped into sin on that one? Or, you know, well, one time won't kill you. Anyone beg to differ with that one? You know, or look, your parents just don't want you to have any fun. Or God just don't want you to have any fun. Look, I think that each one of us will agree with this statement. We've learned some things that we hadn't. We've experienced some things that we really wish we had not experienced. Isn't that true? That's how deceiving the enemy is. When we fail to listen to God and we listen to other voices, especially when their appeal is to our independence, you get in control, or to our pride, you could be just as smart as God. Those value systems will always fail us. Always. All right, number four. When we fail to listen to God, we make decisions that appeal to the flesh and not the spirit. When we fail to listen to God, we make decisions that appeal to the flesh and not to the spirit. See, look, Satan has not tried to entice you, you know, based on your hunger for God, right? He does not try to, you know, based on your thirst for more knowledge of God. He does not, you know, based on your desire to be obedient to God. That's not how the devil comes at you, right? He comes at you knowing that we have a selfishness that's inside us. That's a huge motivator in our life, right? It's all about us. I mean, all right, let's read it. Genesis 3, we'll be now in 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. See, Satan appealed to Eve's desire for wisdom. Look, Eve did not want wisdom to enhance her relationship with God, right? She wanted because she wanted to be wise like God. Now, is it wrong for you to want to be wise?
No.
Is wisdom wrong?
No.
No. No. Matter of fact, it's a good thing to have. There are lots of things that God can bless you with that are great and you should seek after. What's the problem here? The problem is that Eve had to disobey in order to get it. If you've got to disobey God in order to get something good in your life, you've got a problem, right? Look, Satan speaks through our flesh. God speaks through our spirits. When God speaks to us, his desire is to love us, right? His desire is to have our best interests at heart. God loves us. God knew that the wisdom of good and evil would not be a help to us. He actually knew it would hurt us. It hurt not only their relationship with God, but it actually hurt their relationships with each other. Yes. See, when we stop listening to God, we begin to make decisions based on what we want. We're being led by our flesh. Oh. All right, I'm going to keep going. Number five. When we fail to listen to God, we make excuses for our wrongs. When we fail to listen to God, we make excuses for our wrongs. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Now, let me stop you for a second. I can promise you this. God knew where they were, okay? He wasn't asking for information. He knew where they were physically. He knew where they were spiritually, emotionally, mentally. God knew, okay? You can't hide from God. Verse 10, and he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden." This is Adam talking. "And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now, you know what's interesting about this? This is the first time ever mankind has felt the emotion of fear. Never had felt it before. There was never a reason to. He didn't even understand what fear was. And so now he's there in the garden feeling an emotion of fear for the first time. Fear, I mean, he was hiding out of fear, and it's the kind of stuff that we do, right? When we emotionally or spiritually kind of hide ourselves from God, it's out of fear. Verse 11, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And like I said, God does not ask us questions for information. God is all-knowing. God knows it. God really asks you questions for confession. This is God's opportunity for you to make things right. That's what it is. Verse 12, and the man said, the woman who you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And this is exactly what we do, isn't it? You know, God speaks to us. We know exactly what he's saying, and we try to rationalize our disobedience, right? How well do your excuses go with God? From your expressions, I'm guessing they go as well as mine. See, when God speaks and we ignore him, we refuse to listen, our excuses, unacceptable. We can't blame anyone but ourselves. I mean, it's like, I equate it to my kids as a parent. It's like when my kids have heard the rules and they've decided not to listen and obey. It'd be like me saying, go upstairs, clean your rooms, so turn off the TV. I come down 5 minutes later. The TV is still on, and they are watching it. Now, I know, all right, this doesn't happen to you parents. That in my house, sometimes these things happen. So this is what you do as a parent. This is what God does. You go downstairs, you ask them a question. What did I say to you? You want them to repeat it back to you. Why do you want them to repeat it back to you? So you know that they were listening. Then you want to make sure they understood. So when I told you this, what did that mean? Yes, it meant to turn off the television and to walk upstairs to your rooms and actually begin work. See, now once you have figured out that they understood you and they chose to disobey you, the consequences occur, right? Period. Any discussion there after that? No. In fact, if you don't do that, what have you just taught your children? You've just given them an insight into how they can disobey and get away with it, which is the worst lesson you as a parent could ever do. That's when all the parents are supposed to amen me. Look, God knows our future. God knows our personalities. God knows our ability to listen. God will not give us more temptation than we can handle. God says that in his word, that he's not going to give us more temptation than we can handle. He says that. That's a promise. So I cannot blame my sin on someone else or other circumstances. I can't. There's no way around that. I am responsible for my own actions. Would we all agree? Okay. Number 6, when we fail to listen to God, we will suffer the consequences. When we fail to listen to God, we will suffer the consequences. When God was finished talking with Adam and Eve, he listed the consequences out. He did. He listed them out. He listed out Satan's. He listed out Eve's. He listed out Adam's. Matter of fact, we'll read a few of them. Genesis 14. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Have you seen that? Snakes and women? Yeah. And between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I mean, you keep reading. Eve, she painful childbirth. And she was caused to be submitted to Adam. Adam received a curse. You know what his curse was? God cursed the ground and said, you know what? Guess what? Every time you try to grow something, weeds are going to come up. And it's only by the sweat of your brow that you will ever be able to get the earth to actually produce fruit. And then with the final thing, he came all out of the garden. Look, when you do not follow what God says, there are consequences. There are. And you know what? a lot of them I'm learning, there are no avoiding those consequences. We as parents try to do that to our kids, and even sometimes, I think we do it wrongly. We should allow our children to go through the consequences that they would receive naturally instead of protecting them from it. If we did that more often, maybe they would be less likely to keep doing the same mistakes over again. So broken marriages, drug addictions, teen pregnancies, you know, financially ruined families, all those are consequences that were avoidable if we had just listened to the voice of God and followed what the Word of God says. All of them were. I guess I put it this way. If you're about to do something and you kind of feel this kind of gnawing thing inside you that's just not peaceful, stop. Stop what you're doing. That could be God saying, no, don't do that. And then you know what you have to do? That means you have to humble yourself, go back to God and say, all right, God, I'm not feeling peace about this, God. What should I be doing? Is this the right thing? Me trying to make me, you know, all weird about following your voice. But see, we don't, because no, we got to do it now. It has to happen this very second. This opportunity will disappear if I don't jump in now. You'd rather offend. All right, I'm running out of time. All right, number 7. When we fail to listen to the voice of God, others around us are hurt. Others around us are hurt. You know what I've learned? You cannot sin in isolation. You can't. You can't. When a husband fails to listen to the voice of God, guess who gets hurt? The wife. When children fail to listen to the voice of God, you know who gets hurt? The parents. Look, when someone in business fails to listen to the voice of God, the whole business gets hurt. Look, when the leader of your nation fails to listen to the voice of God, we as a nation are going to get hurt. There's no way around it. Look, when other people get hurt when we fail to listen. Adam and Eve's disobedience, it affected the entire world. It led to Jesus needing to have to die on a cross for our sins. All right, my last one. When we fail to listen to God, and this is the most tragic, when we fail to listen to God, we miss His very best. We miss His very best. See, whether you understand or not, the Garden of Eden, that was God's very best. That was the very best. That was the best God had to offer. It was a paradise. They literally walked in the presence of God on almost a daily basis. They were completely protected from everything. It was the perfect world. My question to you this morning is, what are you on the brink of losing? Because you're failing to listen to the voice of God. Look, God's your dad. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He is your biggest cheerleader. He's the guy from the stands rooting you on, saying, go, son, go, daughter. But if you're not willing to listen, if you're not willing to follow what God is saying, you risk losing out on God's best. Not only for you, but as we're learning, also for many other people in your life. So look, in conclusion, what are the symptoms in your life? And we covered some of them. Are you listening to the wrong voices? Are you finding yourself easily deceived by other people? Is your pride and your desire to be in control drowning out the voice of God? Are you trying to feed your flesh instead of being led by the Spirit? Are you just full of excuses on why things are not going well in your life? Are you starting to suffer different consequences for the decisions you've made? And are those decisions not just hurting you, but they're hurting those closest to you? Is it possible that you're missing out on the very best that God has for you? Look, if you look at the symptoms in your life, if you look at the fruit in your life, it may be time to just stop, to be quiet, to get alone with God and ask one more time, all right, God, what are you trying to speak to me? What am I not doing that I should be doing? Or what am I doing that I should not be doing? He's your dad. I'm telling you, if I saw my kids doing something that was going to hurt them, that was not for their good, I would be all over it. I would be saying, stop, no. Have you maybe missing some of the stop no's in front of you? You're walking toward a cliff and you're like, dude, just get out of my way. No, stop. But pastor, all these tragic things have been happening in my life. You ever thought that those tragic things was God slowing you down so you would not make more bad decisions? Because maybe God, in his mind, he'd rather have you walking through pain and hardship than dying in hell. Pastor, that's extreme. Yeah, it is. It's an extreme God we serve. And I thought in my mind as an earthly dad, what would I be willing to do if I thought it would save the life of one of my kids? I couldn't think of anything that I wouldn't do, that I wouldn't jump in front, that I wouldn't risk offending them to the point where they would never want to talk to me again if I honestly, genuinely thought I was going to save their life. Sometimes, and you're not going to want to hear this, the tragedies that are in your life are God trying to stop you from destroying your life. You're rebuking God. God, get that enemy off my finances. Get that enemy out of my body. Get that enemy out of all these things. And I'm your pastor, I love you. Happens in your life is something God has done. But do not say that. Don't quote me on that. Don't leave here saying pastor's bad. I'm not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is that there are things, are consequences that some of you are now currently walking through that have nothing to do with God at all. You are walking through consequences of poor decisions you've made. And God's allowing them in hope that you will stop and you will turn back and go back to him. Okay? There's a difference, okay? So where does that leave us? It leaves us, if you don't like some of the things going on in your life, it leaves you going to your Heavenly Father and saying, help. For those of you who are, this isn't going on, how should you respond to this? You should respond to this as, wow, I'm not having these consequences. I'm going to now follow these suggestions and make myself so more able to hear clearly from God so I don't have to deal with these things. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's both. It's, look, if stuff's happening and you need to hear the voice of God, start following him. If you're hearing the voice from God, get in there deeply, get in there more clearly so you can finally tune out what isn't God and what is. Do you understand? Okay, why don't you stand with me?